Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring in Dan Dockage. He joins us from Outkick at Dan Dockage on Twitter. Cavs take on the Indiana Pacers tonight, game two of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Dan Dockage joins us again on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dan Dockage, how the hell are you?
I am beautiful. It's a beautiful day in Indy. I'm ready to do a cold plunge as soon as I'm done here because my old ass needs less swelling. And the Pacers play tonight. They're up. Cleveland appears to be hurt. Life is good.
It's not good for us. I felt worse. I saw Boston lose, and then I saw Oklahoma City lose, and I'm like, man, I feel even worse because we got guys hurt. Like, I felt like if we were at full strength, we could beat both those teams, and I'm like, I don't know if we can get through Indiana with these injuries.
You know, Indiana's good. You know, one of the things that was surprising to us was they played defense, particularly late. They don't do that normally. And I was texting with the GM, Kevin Pritchard. He's a friend. He's like, look, he goes, Cleveland is damn good and damn tough. You know, the series is just getting started. The injuries are going to factor, obviously. But the Pacers are a good basketball team. And, you know, one of the things about the Pacers, it's a little bit like the NBA used to be, and Cleveland's in this situation too. You know, you keep the core group together and you pound away at it. You know, like, you know, Michael had to beat Detroit, you know, Pacers to get to the finals. It could never beat the Knicks, that kind of thing. And, you know, and both of these teams, Cleveland and the Pacers, like that. But I'm not going to lie to you, fellas, and I'm speaking for, you know, as many fans as I know anyway. We were shocked from the 7-minute mark when they were down one to the 3-minute mark when they went up about six. We were shocked at the defense. It just, you know, every time you talk about the Pacers, hey, man, great offensive team. Love Halliburton coming into his own. Very underrated as opposed to overrated. But we didn't see that defense coming, and hope it continues, if you're a Pacer fan.
Dan, it's the fact that, you know, right now, Indiana, their team that has playoff experience last year, say what you want about the run and who they played, Eastern Conference Finals. And I noticed being there in the gym the other night that they had a confidence about them. They were not worried about a one seed or a 64 win team. And I think you saw that play out. And what amazed me the most, Dan, is that they absorbed that cavalanche, they call it here, the huge run in the third quarter. And they took that and had a counterpunch, and they settled in there in the fourth. That was what amazed me about that performance.
Yeah, that's a good observation because it is a confident team. It is. It really is. And, you know, that's Siakam. The trade to bring Siakam over is one of the great trades in Pacers history. And I've said Kevin Pritchard is one of the great GMs. But the moves he has made, the pickup of Nembhard. You know, Nembhard, I think, was the 31st, 32nd player picked in the draft. And we went through it yesterday on my show. In the afternoon here in Indy, we went through who was picked before him. And if you redraft, I always kind of like when people say, hey, let's redraft the draft and how they play. That kid is phenomenal, and he's phenomenal in exactly what you said. He's tough as hell. He's confident as hell. But the whole thing last year and really the extension to this year is Siakam. He is just a pro's pro, a calm dude, a good dude. I don't know if he's ever been an all-star. I have no idea. But you take him on your team late in the fourth quarter. And, no, you're exactly right. The playoff experience, regardless of who it was against, propelled this team. Got off to a bad start, bunch of injuries, ton of injuries. Hell, I went to one of the first games, but before early December, late November, they were so bad. But they were playing with guys, you know, Nesmith was out, Nembhard was out, Halliburton's in and out. And they're together, and they're good. They're legit good. They play anybody.
Dan Dockett's joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Donovan Mitchell only played 34 minutes in Game 1. We know he's labored in the past. It looked like he was tired in Game 1. We got some injuries. Are the Cavaliers maybe too conservative with injuries?
Well, I'll say this. It's you always do this as a player, and you always do this as a coach, right? You like when the star player of the other team is out. And that's like my daughter says to me all the time, duh, you know, when I say something stupid. But you play into the other team's hands. I mean, let's make no mistake. Kenny Atkinson's a great coach, coach of the year, all that kind of stuff. Hey, Donovan Mitchell statistically is one of the great playoff performers of his generation, maybe of any generation. So, hell, from a Pacers standpoint, keep his ass out. If you really watch him, and now this is me being old, okay? This is me being, oh, Dockage, Bobby Knight, blah, 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 blah. But if you really watch an NBA game, you really watch how much standing around players do. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's not like everybody's running a motion offense and everyone's cutting off screens and going to set a screen and getting banged up. No, no, no. Dudes stand around a lot. So when I hear players say, well, I played 42 minutes. I'm like, really? 42 minutes out of a 24-hour day? 42 minutes, how many times did you actually run? How many times were you standing in the corner? How many times were you standing on defense? How many times were you standing at the free throw line? You got to time out every four or five, whatever it is, minutes. I know that makes me old. I know that makes me, you know, out of touch. I understand load management, but it's BS. You got to play 40 minutes. You got to play 45 minutes if you're a damn superstar. I mean, what are we paying you for? I mean, what are we paying for? You beat the Clippers in the middle of, what, January? My ass. You play.
Well, Dan, tell me if I'm making an excuse here, which that's going to be a drop now. My ass. Tell me if I'm making an excuse, because he played 34 minutes. I'm going, well, nobody else is really scoring. He's the only one scoring. And then, I don't know, maybe is he, like, out of game shape for the playoffs? Because if you look at the Cavs' schedule, which, hey, I know you're covering the Pacers primarily over there, right? But still,
yeah, right.
They're blowing everybody out during the regular season because all these other teams, a lot of these other teams ain't trying. They're getting ready for Cancun. They want to lose. And he's not playing in the second half of a lot of these games because they're up by 25 at halftime.
You even think this is nuts, but I knew my own body when I was in high school. Like, I knew, okay, I'm going to go run the halls of Andre. You don't really get in shape playing the games. You get in shape on your off days. What are you doing? Like, are you in the gym? Are you resting? Are you doing all that stuff? You know, I mentioned a cold plunge. Are you doing all that stuff that Kobe does, that did, LeBron did, you know, to make sure you're never, ever out of shape? You know, if you're not playing, are you running extra? That's what you do as a pro. That's professional basketball. Actually, the hell, that was Indiana basketball. I mean, I remember when I wasn't playing, and there was a lot of times I wasn't playing. I made sure I ran the stairs. I made sure, you know. So I don't buy that. I know what you're saying. I get it, and I get it's a long season. Everybody's concerned about load management and making sure we're, quote, fresh. Well, I mean, in theory, you should be fresher for the playoffs because you've had enough rest. If you're doing your work, which I assume he is because Mitchell's a great dude, you know, he is, and I'm sure he'll play 48 minutes tonight, score 60 points, and, you know, we'll look back on this conversation and go, well, we missed on that one. But I don't know. I don't buy it. I really don't. They're professionals, man. They I don't think professionals aren't out of shape. Slappies are, but professionals aren't.
Dan Dockett showing us on the hotline. Physicality in the NBA playoffs, it's always a story every year. The games are officiated in a much different way come playoff time. What is the line? And if you're a coach, like Kenny Atkinson, he was very nice about the Pacers in game one, said they didn't do anything intentional, they weren't doing anything dirty, but he wasn't happy with the results of a few of those plays, one of which DeAndre Hunter getting fouled and then really, really tweaking, you know, a finger on his shooting hand, which could be a factor the rest of the series. Like, how do you go about that as a head coach this time of the year?
If you remember, first, I thought the non-call on Mathurin's block was ridiculous. I thought Mathurin, whose head was at the rim, by the way, caught the ball. But, my God, it was assault below the ball. You know, you remember going back, you know, you plant the seed. Remember Pat Riley and Van Gundy and all those guys, Phil Jackson, going back and forth, talking to the media about the officiating and all. That seems to be the NBA way of what you do. You know, you can't lose your mind in a game because, you know, you get a couple technicals. Next thing you know, you lose by a couple. You want to drink strychnine all night and, you know, call it a life if you cost your team a game. You feel that bad. But the truth is, you got to do it in the media, at least in the NBA. You know, you got to talk about, you know, I didn't like that. You don't call them out. And if you got to take a fine, you got to take a fine. But that's the way it's always seemingly been done. I mean, you guys remember. Hell, it seemed like Pat Riley and Van Gundy and Phil Jackson and those guys were always whining at the media. And then the next game, there'd be a call or two. And, you know, we'd all say, see, it works. See, it shouldn't work. See, it's, you know, whatever you thought. But that's what you got to do. I don't know that the Pacers are an overly physical team. You know, I mean, like Miles Turner is big. I mean, when you're next to Miles Turner, he's massive, but he generally stays at the three-point line. And when he gets it in the post, pretty much fades away. This isn't like Smith's and the Davis brothers, that kind of thing, you know, with our test back in the day. It's not like that. So I don't know. You know, injuries are unfortunate, obviously, but I don't know that this is an overly physical. I certainly know it's not a nasty Pacer team. It's just not. And as the series goes on, they might get chippy. Mathurin will definitely get mouthy. Halliburton will get mouthy. But it's not a, you know, it's not a 90s or 80s. Whatever. It's just not. And unfortunately, because I love DeAndre Hunter, I think he's one of my favorite basketball players. Always has been since the Virginia days. I hope he's back. I do.
Last night, the Boston Celtics, they fell in their series. They gave up home court advantage. They also took 63-point shots. Dan, they won a title doing this last year. If you are Mazzulla, or right now, if you were in radio in Boston, would you be criticizing him in that approach, or do you think it's now tested and it's still the formula is right?
Yeah, I have a hard time because of their line or their roster. You know, you think about their roster when LeBron was here. You know, James Jones in the corner, and guys. You know, even going way back, Danielle Marshall in the corner. You set your team up, you know, around your talent. But to your point, it was kind of unwatchable. I mean, the game was great. Don't get me wrong, but their offense was kind of unwatchable. It was kind of like, all right, I'm going to shoot it. No, I don't have it. I'm going to give it to you. Well, you dribble and shoot it. I would imagine the thing you're going to see Boston do more is what, you know, everybody calls get 2 feet in the paint before you do anything, meaning either throw it on the block, drive it, you know, curl, get the ball, something to shrink the defense a little bit because they have great shooters, and Derek White is unbelievable, right? I mean, he's like, holy cow, where'd this guy come from? But, man, it was too much. And I'm not saying they've got the greatest post guys, and I know they're set up that way, but that was too much. And frankly, if you're going to – I think they're the favorite. I think they're a heavy favorite in my mind. Maybe not as much now because they lost the game, but I'd still make them the favorite. But if you're going to win – or excuse me, if you're going to lose, and you could lose 4 games doing what they did last night. You know, I always say this, like when LeBron was in Cleveland, in Indiana, we're going to beat LeBron when he was in – you know, Miami, I'd always say, well, you got to beat them 4 games, you know, in 2 weeks. It's not like beating them in December, not like beating them in January. You got to beat them 4 games in 2 weeks. So they're going to stick with what they do because it works. But if they're going to lose 4 games or 3 games now in 2 weeks, that's the formula for losing. Just jacking up threes. And look, you make them, you're going to win. But jacking up bad threes. And when it's a bad three, as opposed to taking a two, going to the rim, setting yourself up or somebody else up, if you're going to jack bad threes, you could lose. If they don't jack bad threes and they do what I just said, they're not going to lose that series even though they're down one. But if they keep doing that, there's a real chance they could lose that series because New York is tough. New York, Anunoby is really good. Brunson, obviously. But, you know, Bridges ain't afraid to make a shot. Hart ain't afraid to make a shot. I saw it for myself last year. If healthy, they're damn good.
Dan, we thank you very much for the time. It was glorious. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, fellas. Thank you.